Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest, Congressman David Cicilline. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Former Bristol State Rep Ray Gallison this week became the latest lawmaker to resign due to the taint of scandal. Gallison is the subject of a state and federal investigation, although the nature of the probe remains unclear and he has not been charged with anything. Congressman Cicilline, way back in the day before you were mayor of Providence, you were a state rep. What will it take to stop this trickle of state lawmakers getting jammed up every year or two or every couple of years?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's important that everyone at every level of government, local government, state government, federal government, abide by the highest standards of ethics.
Sure, but what is it about the General Assembly that we're seeing this parade through the years of lawmakers getting into legal trouble?
I mean, I don't know what the cause of it is. There are obviously bad decisions being made by individuals. What I think is particularly damaging is, as you said, the sort of series of them over the years. It's very important for the future of our state that people have confidence that government is operating ethically and honestly. When you're trying to attract new business investment into Rhode Island, people have to have confidence that government works honestly. And, you know, I inherited a city government which was rife with corruption. I knew the cost it presented to the city of Providence, and I took certain steps as mayor to make sure that we put in place a strong ethics code and made sure that people are accountable when they violate those provisions. I don't know if there's anything particular about this legislative body, but we as a state have to take this seriously, hold people accountable. People who violate the public trust should be accountable, and people have to understand it has an impact on the long-term prosperity of our state.
Maureen, the reaction up on Smith Hill was not again. What's your explanation for why we keep seeing these kind of cases?
You know, well, first I could remind everyone that the New York speaker is on his way to jail. The Massachusetts former speaker is in jail. The mayor of Bridgeport just got out of jail and got reelected.
I take your point. We're not unique, but don't we have a problem here?
Well, in that context, but given all those people, this is still awful. It's just awful because it's dumb. It seems to be something that's extensive as well as a little creepy. Nonetheless, and I mean the point is we're just on the verge of coming out of a recession, of trying to make progress, and this does so much damage to good policy proposals.
Absolutely.
You get a good policy proposal and the voters are like, no, we're not doing this. It is really devastating.
Scott, you've been watching the scene here in Rhode Island for a long time. You've seen it all. What's your explanation for why this kind of stuff continues?
This looks like greed, stupidity, and perhaps something else. The sad part of all this is not a rank and file lawmaker. It's not Joe Almeida, you know, filing some sloppy campaign documents. This is the head of the Finance Committee. It's a very influential post in the legislature. All the money goes through that committee, and it's a real kind of taint on the House, and it's very sad, I think.
Now, it's not entirely clear what investigators are looking at, yet Gallison was the assistant head of an education nonprofit that got more than $2 million in legislative funding since fiscal 2003. Some of this money went to pay Gallison's salary. House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello says lawmakers should never get paid through a legislative grant, and he says he's taking a closer look at these community service grants, which we should note are different from the smaller legislative grants that go out to community groups. Scott, is it time to end these grants in total?
I don't know if you end them in total. This isn't the first time this has been done. I think the congressman, to remember George Castro, used to have his own television show that was basically financed by the legislature. So this isn't new, but that doesn't make it any less wrong. I think if you look back at some of these bigger grants, the Institute for Sport and Society down at URI, I mean, there's been a lot of money wasted over the years, and maybe we just say that there won't be any lawmaker pass a new House rule. No lawmaker can get any pecuniary gain from any legislative grant, no matter how big or small.
Congressman Cicilline, there are groups that everyone likes, like AS220, that get some of these community service grants, but is it time to eliminate them due to what critics see as a lack of accountability?
Well, look, I think very clearly someone should not be paid from a legislative grant. I mean, we have ethics rules in the House that would prohibit that. I think most people would agree that makes no sense. I think they, you know, when I was in the legislature, I put forth some proposals on revising the grant system that would bring bring greater transparency to it and greater accountability. But I think you're right. There are organizations that benefit from returning some portion of state money back into the communities for worthwhile organizations. You can have a grant program so long as you have a system to hold people accountable. There's public review of it. So I think the speaker's made it clear he's going to review this. I think there are improvements that can be made. I think it's important to not throw out the baby with the bathwater. If there are organizations that are using these properly for their intended purpose that don't involve state legislators, we probably want to continue those. But again, this is one of those issues where the public has so lost faith in this system that it has got to be responded to. It's got to be corrected.
Maureen, when we talked about the smaller legislative grants a couple of weeks ago, you defended the top-down nature of it, saying that's the way it is in politics. Do you still feel the same way?
Well, I do think that's the way it may be in politics, but the fact is they have to be scrutinized, especially these larger ones. They're a soft spot, and they've always been a soft spot. Gordon Frox was peripherally involved with this. In other words, who does the work? The administration and so forth and so on. So, I mean, we can leave some of the grants in place, but this is known. We all know that this nonprofit world deserves and demands greater scrutiny. And hats off to Peter Noronha, because that's what might change the culture. If he keeps after this kind of thing, people will realize they can't get away with it.
Let's switch gears to quickly talk about presidential politics. Ted Cruz and John Kasich have dropped out of the Republican field, clearing the way for Donald Trump. Congressman Cicilline, we saw how in Rhode Island Bernie Sanders defeated Hillary Clinton. There is a lack of enthusiasm among some Democrats for Hillary Clinton. Is that going to be a problem come November from your perspective?
No, I mean, look, I think we're going to see Donald Trump as the Republican nominee. I think it's very likely Hillary Clinton will be the Democratic nominee. And I think there are going to be some number of people who are not excited about Secretary Clinton as a candidate. What I do think is much more likely to happen is there will be a group of people who are going to be motivated about Donald Trump not being the president. So look, some people go to vote for a candidate they believe in, they're passionate about. Some people go because the opponent is really unacceptable and they're motivated by that. So I think it's a variety of different motivations, but I have no doubt that when the time comes in November and it's a choice between Secretary Clinton or Donald Trump, that the vast majority of the American people will say Hillary Clinton should be our next president. She has both the ability, the experience, the tenacity, the fight, and that she's talked about issues that are important to Rhode Islanders and important to this country, and they will reject the candidacy of Donald Trump.
Maureen, do you agree with our guest?
Well, I think ultimately Hillary Clinton will prevail. What I'm sorry about is I think to paraphrase Thomas Hobbes, this is going to be a nasty, brutish, and long election that's going to degrade the discourse of politics even more. And moreover, 20 minutes after Hillary Clinton is president, it's going to continue. It's very unfortunate.
And how do you see the outlook, Scott?
It seems that there's a hard right in this country where every Democratic president is somehow illegitimate. It goes back to the Liberty Lobby and Franklin Roosevelt. You know, we go through the John Birch Society with Kennedy and Johnson. And now we have ALEC and we have all of these Koch brother-funded things. And it seems like the birther movement, which Trump was part of, seems like a Democrat just is illegitimate. It's just really a strange development.
We're almost out of time, Scott, but is the next president going to be Clinton or Trump?
I think the evil of two lessers, Hillary Clinton wins this one.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Congressman David Cicilline.
Thank you very much.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our website at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.